Blog Talk Radio.
Out there. Thank you. All right. So in this precept, as I said, we're going to be looking at some different aspects of the Sermon on the Mount as we continue to study. We want to welcome everybody to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. I'm Brother Miles. And want to welcome you in Blog Talk, in Pal Talk, on the Internet in general. Wherever you may be, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ, in the English. So whether you are in North America, South America, if you're on the African continent, in the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, the communist bloc country, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved. Now, we're going to go ahead and jump into this evening. So let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads wherever you may be. And let us do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep His commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, 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 Father. We just glorify you on today, Father, and we bow down the knee to you, O Yah Elohim, and we submit ourselves to you, Father, in obedience, hallelujah, and we honor you on this your day, Father, and we give you glory, honor, and praise, for truly you are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy, and there is none like unto you, O Yah, no, not one, Father, and we just thank you for your gift of salvation. We thank you for redemption. We thank you for being our provider and our secure and our security, Father. We thank you for everything that you do for us, Father. And we just want to take this time on this day to honor you as you have said that we should do, Father. And we just give you glory, honor, and praise on today. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. Glory to your name. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave. And we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. You said, if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. Father, we are turning from our wicked ways and repenting of our sins, and we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, a spirit of love for you, our love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call a Messiah, that they would hear your voice and that they would come and they would obey your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you smile upon this work, that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The sounding of the shofar, for this is the Most High Sabbath.
Cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh,
Then shall thy light be, wow. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth as speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of Yah shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and Yah shall answer, cry, and he shall say, here am I. If thou shalt take away from the midst of thee the yoke that putteth forth the finger, and the speaking vanity, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And Yah shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. Thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste place. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath of delight, the holy of Yah, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in Yah, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of Yah hath spoken it. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen.
It is always good to stand before you on the Lord's Sabbath day. In fact, this day, sisters and brothers, is what we're going to talk about and what it means. The title of this lesson is the Lord's Sabbath, a day of rest. The Lord's Sabbath, a day of rest. You know, we keep these feast days because that's a part of God's plan. And at the very top of the feast days is the Lord's week of Sabbath, because this day means something. But being that if you are people that don't observe the Lord's Sabbath day, then you don't have a clue what the Lord is doing, and you don't have a clue what this day means. The Lord give you these things, not just say, I'm going to put you through some rituals so I have you being busy. He give you certain things that you need to do, which is beneficial to your salvation. And it will also tell you what he is doing.
The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks as professors to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions. God put the plan in motion from the very beginning, then gave the law to Moses so we know when we sin it. And with his own finger, it was personally written, but still the law that says remember is the first we forget. And what's worse is you got the nerve to call yourself Christians, like when Christ came the Sabbath day starts switching, but no mention of Sunday Sabbath in scripture. So where it come from if God didn't deliver? Don't say one of Paul's epistles, like Paul somehow supersedes the official. How the servant gonna serve a different dish from the menu? Remember, Paul's habit was to teach on the Sabbath, and he ain't preach against the law, he was keeping commandments. And since when did Paul establish Christianity standards? Thought the devil definition of Christian was those that follow Christ, and the Lord's Sabbath starts every Friday night. The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks as professors to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions? I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist or Jehovah's Witness, I'm just one who doesn't add nor diminish from scripture, as written revelations, who switch the day of convocations, huh? Worshiping the constellations, not knowing it's pagan. That's the Roman congregation giving false information on that other Jesus from these Japheth nations. Salvation is of the Jews, John 4:22. These modern day Christians, they ain't got no clue. They try to justify their lies till their face turn blue. Your New Testament refused, eradicated in lieu. And your Easter celebration proves you know it's the truth. How can Sunday be the first day and the Sabbath too? And at the end of the Sabbath, Mary came to the tomb, and Saturday is the day the Lord stood up to read. But who you follow? Constantine or Luke 4:16? The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks who's professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions?
The world is so uninformed until they don't even know that the only God that this man has ever dealt with is Jesus before he became Jesus. And you have people arguing about, well, I like the God of the Old Testament, other I like the God of the New Testament, but what they don't realize, the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. Therefore, if you realize that they are both one and the same, then you understand that nothing has changed since the Lord started dealing with man. Somewhere along the line, people think that there are changes when it comes to the Word of God. Sister and brother, there is no change. The Lord says God ain't changed not.
Amen. The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks who's professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions? The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, y'all. Don't take hallowed issue with me. The Lord said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Follow Jesus direct.
That was a command.
On the day that he rested.
Yeah. Not a suggestion.
Falling for a deception.
I'm just giving a message.
The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested. Hallowed and blessed it. My folks is professing. Follow Jesus' directions.
I've been changed. I'll be the first to say I was one of them, that we only live by grace and just by faith. I was taught to listen to what my pastor say, only you should trust in him, he'll never lead you astray. Now that I know better, they don't even live according to the letter. They throw away the Holy Scriptures, telling me that it's all done with. That is so simple. Something simple like the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
It's written that his word don't change.
Why do you lie and defy the Holy Scripture just to satisfy your desire? And now that I know better, he don't even live according to the letter. They throw away the Holy Scripture, telling me that it's all done with.
I've been changed.
Ain't no going back to what I used to do, no,
I've
no
been
more.
Walk is sure that we are going in through the straight gate. Messiah said there's only one way in. There's not many ways. There's not my way and your way. There's only his way. So how he says to come is how we have to come. So in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, the word of the Most High reads, enter you into the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. So we don't want to go in to that gate. We don't want to go into the broad gate, but we want to go into the narrow gate. We're going to be looking at the Sermon on the Mount on this evening, because the Sermon on the Mount is Messiah telling us how to enter in, how to come into the kingdom, how to get saved. And, you know, he said we must be born of the water and of the Spirit. But in this new covenant, we have to also get a new heart. And the Most High says that he wanted us to have his heart, that he wanted to place his Spirit within us. So he gave us his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances, his judgments. Those are his heart. So just kind of review from the last, you know, last week. Those are his heart. That's how he feels about things. That's how he judges things. So Messiah was telling us, okay, you got to have this new heart. And we know that this new heart is the heart of the Most High. It's agape love. You got to get his heart. So the Sermon on the Mount is a sermon on how to get saved. It applies totally to the body of Messiah and to the entire church and the entire church age. How, you know, when it didn't just apply to Israel back before 70 AD. It didn't just come into being after 70 AD. This is for the entire church age until Messiah returns. The people that Messiah addressed as his followers, his believers, that's who he was talking to. He was not talking to the world. Got to understand that. He didn't even pray for the world. So we're going to look at these things. So he was talking to people who believed him. In spite of what we may have been taught, the scriptures are not written to unbelievers. The Most High would that nobody should be lost. But he's really talking to those people who believe in him. If you look at the scriptures, there's very few scriptures to unbelievers, except for, you know, what their fate is going to be. But he's really trying to tell the believers how to walk in him, what we must do. The scripture is open to them who don't believe. Pick up the word of Elohim, and they can be saved. But they have to respond correctly to the word. They have to respond correctly to him and what he's saying and his call. They have to do his will. The believers do his will. The non-believers, they don't do his will. So if we don't do his will, we'll perish. That's what he tells us. And he doesn't want that any to perish. But he already knows who's going to accept him and who's going to do what he says to do. So the non-believer, the only thing the scripture says to them is to repent and be baptized and come to true repentance in him. So the believers and the scriptures are written to tell us how to walk in him, how to enter into the kingdom and how to walk in the kingdom. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to get verse 9. The book of 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. And the word of the Most High reads, Yah is not slack concerning his promise. I see a lot of people believe that because certain things haven't happened yet, they start to believing that Most High is slack. He's not going to move. He's not going to move on this time. You know, we got time. Yah is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but his long-suffering to usward. He's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but but that all should come to repentance. That is what he wants. What his I can't say his will is, but that's what he desires. But he knows everybody's not going to come into repentance. But it's not his will that every, you know, certain people should be damned automatically. If we come into true repentance, he doesn't really care who we are. He's not a respecter of persons. If we learn to fear him and obey him, that's who he is acceptable with him. Okay, so we got to understand that this is where the unbeliever has to get to the point that, and he understands that the Most High don't want me to perish. And the only way I'm not going to perish is if I do what he says to do. The believer, the true believer, already knows that, believes that, and walks in that, fears in that. I don't want to step outside the line because I don't want to get damned. You know, and I don't want to disobey because I don't want to be that disobedient child that gets damned. I don't want to be that sinner, as we read in Ezekiel. I don't want to be that sinner, that person that was doing righteousness, and then all of a sudden I start doing unrighteousness, and all my righteousness is forgotten. Most of us, I don't remember none of that. And if you die in your sin, I don't care how righteous you were, if you die in your sin, you're going to be judged according to your sin, not according to your righteousness. At the same token, if you are a unrighteous person and you repent and you turn 100% to the Most High and you obey his commandments, he says, then you shall live and all your unrighteousness will be forgotten. So we got to understand the Most High is looking for those who are obedient to him. Those is who he's going to save. Messiah is telling us in the Sermon on the Mount how we do this, how we walk, and how we enter in. So if the non-believer responds properly and undergoes true conversion, and that's the key right there, true conversion. Just be converted. You got to be changed. Can't stay that same old person and then kind of try to be good. Because he don't ever say try. Everything with the Most High is it's black and white. You either do or you don't. And so when people are teaching, you know, that, you know, we have an intercessor. The Most High doesn't expect us to be walking in sin. And he especially don't expect us to be walking in willful sin, things that we know are wrong. If we mess up and do something that it was a mistake, then he'll forgive that. If we do something in error, he will forgive that. But if we do something we know is wrong, he says, there ain't no blood for that. So he wants us to be obedient to him. And he wants the sinner to learn to be 100% obedient to him and to fear to transgress, fear to break his law. That's that converted. Because when we were carnal, we didn't care. We were running after the world and the things of the world, and we didn't care about if we offended the Most High. We took joy in doing wickedness. How much can we get over on somebody? How much can we steal, or how can we abuse this person? Can I talk her into laying with me? Can I trick him into laying with me? We were about all this. And the Most High says, no, you got to be converted. You got to be changed. You got to be renewed. You got to walk in my way. So let me write my laws in your heart. I don't want them on stones of clay. I don't want you to have to, we shouldn't have to even come to this book. Once we are taught, then we should know how to act righteously and just be righteous, lawful. Okay, so this is what he's wanting, that regeneration of us when we were sinners. But all of his sermons, all of his teachings were to believers. And in the end, he didn't even pray for unbelievers. Only those who have an ear to hear, let them hear. Everyone else, I ain't talking to y'all. Okay. So Messiah didn't pray for unbelievers.
Is now in the conference.
Okay. Matter of fact, Messiah didn't pray for the world at all. He prayed for those that believed on him. Go to John 17. The book of John, chapter 10. Let's get verses 20 and 21. John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. Neither I pray for thee alone, but for them, who is the them? Also which shall believe on me through their word. So he's praying for his disciples. And he's praying for those people that believe on him through anyone that preaches him. But the bottom line, those that believe on him. That's who he's praying for. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be, that they, the ones that believe on me, may be one in us. That the world may know that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So that's who he's praying for. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, as thou hast loved me. So he's praying for his, those that believe on him, those that were given to him from the foundations of the world. Read verse 24. Father, I will they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. So we got to know that this is who he's praying for. He's not praying for the world. He's praying for those that truly believe in him, those that truly are going to do what he says to do. How sayest thou that I say you love me and do not what I say to do? If you love me, keep my commandments. That's who he's praying for. That's who he's teaching. He's talking to the citizens of the kingdom, those that believe on him. Now, we're going to see that he actually divides the world into believers and unbelievers. But then he also divides the believers into two groups. And so we're going to see that so that we can understand that you can believe to a certain level but not believe enough. And not believing enough can cause you to go to the wrong place, to believe the wrong doctrine, to do the wrong thing. Messiah extends his prayer to include all believers that claim they are Christians, that claim they are Christians. And I'm using this word Christian because I know we don't like it, but I'm just going to say all people that believe in him. Because, again, my understanding of a Christian is, you are trying to be Christ-like. You're trying to grow up to be like him. You are becoming him. He is our example. Okay. So he's not excluding professors, people who profess his name. He's including everyone that calls on his name. And let's see here. Okay. He's including everybody that calls on his name. So let's look at how he words, because wording is important. And pay close attention to it. He prays first for all those that believe on him. That's who he's praying for first. All those that believe on him. All those that profess that they believe in him. Because he would not have that any of those should be lost. The believer. He's not talking to the sinners in this regard. So all those who claim to be part of his church, his body, that's who he's talking about here. And this is throughout the church age. Because the church started in this dispensation, started at Pentecost. Remember, Messiah said, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. So until the Spirit was, none of them had entered into the kingdom of Elohim. And understand that the kingdom of Elohim is here right now. We're not waiting for it. It's here in the earth right now. He says the kingdom of heaven is within us. So we got to understand that if we have understanding, then we should be walking as citizens of the kingdom now, obeying the commandments of the kingdom now. Not waiting for his return. We're not supposed to be. That's why he says you are in the world, but not of it. You're not of this world. You're of the kingdom of heaven. And we are ambassadors in the world. And so we should be living like citizens in the kingdom right now. And this is who he was praying for. Those that truly believe in him throughout the church age. Okay. Now comes something very important when we look at these verses. Of this whole group, from the time of Pentecost to the time he returns, all those who call on his name, who profess to know him, this group, he prays that these to come into authentic union with him, into an authentic relationship with him. And you come into an authentic relationship with him if you are obedient and do his commandment as he commanded. Not try to do them, but do them. He wants all of that body to come to one understanding, to be one in mind, to be one in heart, to have the same mind and heart as he has with the Father from that position, from the Son, position of Son, and having the same position that I do the will of my Father. Then he wants us to have that same mindset that we do his will, that we should be one with him. He wants this group to become something. And what does he want it to become? Let's drop down to verse 26. John 17 and verse 26. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now, we understand that love. The Most High said from the very beginning, if you love me, you'll do what I say to do. I love them that love me, and those that love me do what I say to do. They obey me. So, Messiah is saying, I have declared thy name to them. I have shown them your will, that they may do it. I have taught them how to pray from your position of how we should address the Father. as children, how we should address him. Our Father, which art in heaven, acknowledge him, holy be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's given us the mindset that we're supposed to have for the Most High. Herewith thou hast loved me, may be that I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So this love that he's talking about is the love of the Father. And he gave us his love by giving us his mind. These are my commandments. These are my statutes. These are my ordinances. These are my judgments. These are the rewards for keeping them. These are the penalties for breaking them. He gave us what his heart is. And by giving us his heart, he gave us his love. Because if we do what he says to do, then he says, you won't have to worry about the wrath to come. You won't have to worry about my anger. You won't have to worry about what I'm going to do to the disobedient. You won't have to worry about that. Now, when we enter into his love, we enter into a true union with him, with the Most High. We enter into his love through obedience. This is what Israel always failed at, being obedient to the Most High. So we want to be in right relationship with him. Agape love, the love of Elohim, is to obey him. Is to fear him. Keep his laws, his statutes, his commandments, and his judgment. Okay? And when we learn that, then we come into true union with him. Now, he's going to also give us his spirit. Literally. As I said before, that is a literal thing. It's not just a mind like him. But I'm literally going to father you. I'm going to put my spirit in you and make you my child. So we got to have that. And then we got to be obedient to come into a true union, a true authentic regeneration with him. When we read the scriptures, we're going to see that the vast majority of people, vast majority of believers, let me put it that way. I'm not going to say, we're going to talk about the believers now. The vast majority of believers never enter into a true union with him. They believe on him, but they don't actually enter into a true union with him. They say they believe, they say they love, but they don't actually obey. But they believe. Okay, and we're going to see that. They embrace false theology. Because he tells us we must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's very important that we worship him in spirit and in truth. And so if we believe a false theology, a false religion, then we're going to miss the mark. If we believe in a false doctrine, it will actually prevent us from achieving the mark. It will prevent us from coming into true union with him, into a true relationship with him. You got many, here's an example, we got many churches out there that teach that you can be in the kingdom of God, but you are not up under his law. They said they believe. But we don't have to keep his law. That's a false theology. But this is what the vast majority of Christendom teaches. A false theology, but they say that they are believers. And they are in the body. Okay? So their false theology will prevent them from entering into a true, correct relationship with the Most High. Because you can't be in a true and correct relationship in him and be in disobedience. It just doesn't work. So I use wheat and chaff. Okay, he used these parables as examples. Wheat and chaff. And he said that let them both grow up together. Believers and unbelievers. And then there's believers who are disobedient. So they believe, but their theology causes them to be disobedient. So Messiah divides the world into two camps, believers and unbelievers. Then he makes another division that is far more important, and this is the one we want to concentrate on. Because, you know, people who just don't believe, we can just sort of just lump them over there and sort of forget about them. Okay? They don't believe. But now we got this group of believers, people who say they believe. Messiah divides that group too. Believers and followers. Followers who are obedient and who will come into genuine union with Messiah. So we got believers, and then we got true followers of Messiah, who will be obedient to him. He tells us that, you know, we have to be obedient to him. We have to keep his commandments. So we got believers and unbelievers, and then we got this group of believers that he divides again into believers and followers, true followers of him. And the true followers that are obedient to him, they are the ones that actually enter into the new covenant. Okay, that's why he says, many are called, but few are chosen. He's doing the calling, and he's doing the choosing. And he's choosing those ones that are followers of his, that truly believe and are obedient. And he can see it in our heart, whether we're going to be obedient or not. Okay? So we will enter into the new covenant, those that follow him and are obedient. Can't be followers of his and then be disobedient. Because he tells us, how you say you love me and do not what I tell you to do? How do you say you love me and don't do what I say to do? You don't love me. He's looking for those that love him and are obedient and do what he says to do. That's why it says many are going to call on him in that day and say, Lord, Lord, or Master, Master, did we not heal people in your name and cast out demons in your name? Did we not feed the hungry in your name? Did we not work miracles in your name? Those are believers. They're using his name. But he says, get away from me, you disobedient ones. That's what you workers of iniquity is, you disobedient ones. Get away from me. I never knew you. This is coming from the group of believers. But they're not actually following him. But they want to use the name. They want to invoke his name and use it as though they have a right to use it, to claim to be his. This is who he's talking about. So the disobedient ones, they don't follow him. And the disobedient ones won't enter into a genuine union, a genuine relationship with him. In spite of all their beliefs, in spite of all their faith, in spite of their profession of faith, how do you say you love me and do not as I say to do? If you don't keep my sayings, I told you, if you love mother, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, husband, wife, children, even your own self more than you love me, you cannot be my disciple. He's telling us exactly what is required. Anything short of that is not acceptable. He already tells us we cannot be. You can't follow me. You can't be like me. I'm not your savior. But we won't believe the word because we don't want to be left out. That's the disobedient one. They want to do what they want to do. Use his name and say that they believe on him, but not do what he says to do. But remember, they are believers, but they are disobedient. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll do what I say do. So understand this whole big group, this whole big wheat field. We got some wheat in the field, and the field, let's just take the field as the body of Messiah. And in this field, we got wheat, and then we got tares. We got chaff. So let the wheat and the tares grow up together. Let the true believers and the believers that say they are believers, but they don't follow me, they're not obedient to me, let them grow up together. I'll separate you at the end. Turn. That's why he tells us in Romans chapter 14. If he says that he belongs to me, don't get on him about it. I will judge him. I will judge her. They say they believe in me. When they talk to Messiah about the Most High, said that he is the Elohim of the living. But when you look at Messiah, says that Messiah is the Elohim of the living and the dead. Those ones that say they believe in him and are disobedient to him, they are dead and just don't know it. They're dead in the next world. But they still believe on him. They still want to say that they love him, that he is their Elohim. Okay, I'm going to be your Elohim, but I'm going to still give you justice. I'm still going to judge righteously. And if you were disobedient, the law says you have to die. So we got to understand this, that you're going to have some people who say that they are believers, but they have a false salvation because they have chosen to believe a false theology and a false doctrine that is contrary to what they can read for themselves. It's contrary. Saying that he tells us that there's two groups. Okay. They miss the boat. They want to come in the easy way. They don't want to come in through the straight and narrow. They want to come in through the wide gate. But he tells us where the wide gate leads to. Still want to enter in that way because they don't want to be obedient to him. Go to Matthew chapter 7. I hope we can get this. I hope we can see what the Most High has shown me in this. So, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, or Master, Master, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. The will of the Father is that we are obedient from the very beginning. He has said that. I love them that love me. And those that love me will keep my commandments. Messiah just said it again. Not everyone that saith unto me, Master, Master, shall enter into the kingdom, because he's not everybody's master, not everybody's savior, not everybody's redeemer. He's only redeeming those that will obey. But he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, why are they saying this stuff to him? Because they were believers. They believed in him, but they didn't want to do what he said to do. Master, Master, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. Why are they using his name? Because they believe on him. But they have followed a false theology. They have followed a false religion. That's why it says in spirit and in truth. They believe the lie that they're not up under the law. They believe the lie that no matter what sin they commit, as long as it's not blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, that they're going to be saved, no matter what, whether it's ignorant sin or willful sin. They truly do not understand the grace of the Most High. For by grace are we saved. I'm extending this scepter to you one time. My law says if you willfully sin against me, your iniquity shall remain upon you. I have never forgiven willful sin. But this one time up under Messiah, I'm going to extend grace to you. And I'm going to forgive your sin that you knew was sin, and you did it anyway. One time. And the world has taken that in this false theology and said, hey, it don't matter. If you slip and fall and you knew you slipped and fell, you knew you were doing wrong and you did it anyway, you got weak, you had a moment of weakness, he will forgive you. It is a lie. Say that. It is so that people can continue to do what they're doing. But he's not slack. Because under the with Israel, judgment would have come immediately. He says, but I got a day for that now. I'm not accepting that mess. And you might think that I'm slack, as men think slackness is. But I know what you're doing. I know what you've done. I know what you did willfully. I know what you did ignorantly. It's written down. So I'm not going to take out my wrath on you right now. And this is where people get tripped up, because they sin, judgment doesn't come, and they feel like, oh, he forgave me. But he tells us, and it has always been, if it is ignorant, I will forgive you. Send grace to you one time in Messiah, and I'm going to forgive all of your willful sin and your ignorance, and I'm going to give you a clean slate. So we got to understand that that is where he's at. That is his truth. And because a lot of churches, I'm going to use that word church, but even amongst Israel, because Israel think that they drop a lot of what the church does, they are in derision, they're in delusion. Because a lot of them are still carrying that doctrine with them. Because they don't want to be condemned. So we're gonna say we believe and we keep the statutes, the laws, and the commandments, still commit willful sin. Thinking that, you know, I'll bring it to the Day of Atonement. And I'll say I'm sorry for all my sin that year and he will forgive me. Again, that is false theology. It is false doctrine. Because even in Torah, if you did that, if it was willful, you could even make a sacrifice for it to bring it into the temple. It says your iniquity shall remain upon you. False theology. They believe, but they're believing in a lie. And so that lie will cause them not to come into the correct relationship that the Most High wants. So we got to understand that. They're lumped in with the tares. Just like we have Christians who say they believe and don't, they're not up under the law, they are a tare. They look like a wheat, but they don't bear the same fruit as wheat. They create other tares. So that's what they're going to teach. That's what they're going to reproduce. But they're in the body. They're amongst the wheat. They're in the body. They're in the field. Hope we can get this. They're the ones that's going to come and say, hey, we cast out demons in your name. We laid hands on the sick in your name. We fed the hungry in your name. But you didn't do what I said to do. Yeah, I said to do those things, but you need to obey my commandments. I told you have to stop sinning. That's why I came. I didn't come to pay for your sins for you to sin all over again. Especially what you knew was wrong. I didn't pay for that. So they're in the body and they are believers. We don't care about unbelievers. We don't care about people that don't profess Messiah as their Savior. He's not going to do anything but condemn them anyway. They are already condemned. Talking about the people who are professing to be followers of his, professing to know him and be in his body, and they are not saved. They have a false salvation. It is contrary to him and what he said. So when we hear this, you know, most people would try to, if we are Hebrew, we try to put it back on the church. You know, if we are Hebrew and we come to him and we say we believe in him and we say we keep his statutes, his laws, his commandments. I know we don't say we keep his judgment, but we read in Ezekiel, if we have his spirit, then we're also going to keep his judgment. We're going to judge the way he judges. We're going to, if the sentence calls for death, that's what the sentence calls for. We can't overrule him. We can't do our own thing. We have to do it the way he would do it. We have to do what he says to do. He says, I'm going to put my heart in you that you would keep my judgment and do them. Those that are not truly in true relationship with him, they're not going to do that. Okay. So he that does the will. The word will here is thelema. T-H-E-L-E-M-A, and it means a determination, a purpose, a decree. The word do it is poio, P-O-I-E-O in the Greek. It means to perform or to carry out, to do something. Closely associated with that word is Prasso, P-R-A-S-S-O, which means to perform repeatedly. You're not just going to do it once, but you're going to always do it, to execute, to accomplish. In short, it means to be obedient to Elohim, that is to perform or execute, to carry out that which Elohim demands. If Elohim demands the life of something for a transgression, you perform it, you execute it. If he commands that you love somebody who is perform it, you execute it. You are obedient to it. That's what it means. If you are obedient, you will do it. If you are disobedient, you will not do it. It ain't, you know, gray. It's black and white. It ain't either or some of the middle. He's very black and white in these things. You either are a doer or you're not. No matter what you profess out of your mouth, you can be in the body and say you're a believer, but if you're not a doer, you are disobedient. Not saying that you're a disbeliever, you are disobedient to bodies that he's speaking about in the Sermon on the Mount. These are the two groups that he's talking about in the parable. The people think that in the parables that the tares are unbelievers. Tares aren't unbelievers. The tares are people who say they believe, but they never come into a right relationship with him. Whether it's because of, you know, just a disobedient heart or they were taught wrong, it don't matter. In the end, they are disobedient. This is who he's talking about in those parables. Go to Matthew chapter 7, and we're already there. Let's go to verse 24. Drop down to verse 24. So he says, in verse 23, that group of people, he says, then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. You were professing that you knew me, but I'm telling you, I never knew you. You that work iniquity, disobedience, lawlessness. Because if we aren't obedient, then we don't follow. You know, no matter how much we say we follow his law, if we're disobedient, we are lawless. We are workers of iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth this saying of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Hear and do. Not hear and try. Do. Be doers of my word. Not hearers only. So they're in the group. They hear, but they aren't doers. Obedience. Remember, he's talking to believers. But he's telling you there's two groups of believers. Those that follow me and that are obedient, and those that believe on me and are disobedient. And the vast majority are in the second group. The vast majority aren't in the first group. And the rain that descends, let's see. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. There is no condition there like Christ. He didn't tell the woman that they brought to him and accused of adultery. He didn't tell her to go and try not to sin anymore. Go and sin no more. He's an absolute. So when we hear his things and do them. He likens us unto a wise man. If we hear his things and don't do them, we are unwise. But we are also proving to be tares. Want to be like weak, we want to look like weak, but when we truly manifest, we are not weak. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. People want to claim that, you know, Messiah is their rock. The Most High is their rock. They're set on a firm foundation, and he is a firm foundation, their rock. If he never knew them, he's not their rock. He could be, but because they walk in disobedience, because they are not doers. I don't know you. You heard about me, but you don't know me. You claim to know me, but you don't know me, and I don't know you. That's that group of in the believers, that they're believers, but they're not followers. They're not doers. Okay. So, if we do it, he says, we are founded on a solid rock, a firm rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not. So these people are at the lesson. They're at the class. They're at his sermons on the mount. They're sitting in the grass along the ocean when he's teaching out the boat. Their reason for being there is not to follow him. They want to hear, but they also know, hey, we might get fed. We might get something out of this, but we ain't really trying to do all that. I don't want to end up in the lake. So I want to hear what you got to say, but my heart is not to do what you're saying. I want to be amongst those people because I don't want to be around wicked and evil people, but don't consider myself as being wicked and evil when I'm being disobedient. I'm a good person at heart, standing at the Most High sees them as being wicked, workers of iniquity, because they hear his saying and they don't do it. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. So he's telling us there's two groups of people here. The whole group is hearing my saying. Some of them are going to do them, my saying. And out of that same group, some of them are not. So he breaks the people up into two groups first, believers and unbelievers. Some believers, you get over here. I ain't talking to y'all. All you that say you believe, this is how you enter in. This is how you enter in. Now do it. And if you do it, you're wise. And if you don't do it, you are unwise. You are foolish. Continue. And the truth of the matter is, Either you are obedient or you perish. Queen, I pray we can hear this and get it. There is no in between. You either are a doer and you're obedient, or you are disobedient and you perish. There's no option in there. Not optional to do. Either go to the lake or you enter into paradise. And the way into the lake is broad and wide. The way into paradise is long and narrow. So I said broad and wide, broad and short. Wide and short is the way into the lake. Long and narrow is the way unto life. So people who don't want to believe, the word is simple. It really is. And when people want to come up with their own theology, when they want to argue about whether they should be obedient or not, or what the Most High will forgive, he tells us all these things. Ain't even open for debate. But we have itching ears. Or we're just a tear and don't know it. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. The book of Hebrews chapter 5. I know a lot of people don't want to hear these things, but I want to make sure that we understand what is going on in the scriptures, and that the Most High is talking to believers, the Messiah is talking to believers, and even amongst those believers, the vast majority of believers are going to end up in the lake because they are not followers. They are not doers. And you can't be satisfied with trying, because the Most High don't do try. Nowhere in this scripture will you ever find the word try. Not once. Nowhere does he say, those that try to obey me, I'm going to forgive. Those that try to obey me, I love. You don't find that. The Most High deals in absolute. You either fear him and love him and obey him, or you don't. Because to know him is to fear him. And to fear him is to obey him. And to obey him is what causes him to love you. He don't love the disobedient. He don't just love us because we are human beings. I love them that love me. And if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. Now, see who he, in this verse, see who he becomes the author of eternal salvation for. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that hear him, all them that believe in him, all them that obey him. That's who he's for. That's who he's teaching. That's who he's saving. Those that obey him. Not disobey. Not trying to obey. But you got to love him more than you love yourself. You got to sit down and count the cost. Can I give myself over to him 100% and serve him with my whole heart? Can I value him more than I value anything in the world? Anyone in the world? Do I love him enough that I'm not going to transgress? I'm going to do what he says to do. Nowhere does he say cry. He ain't looking for crying. He's looking for those that are doers. So, he's the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Not just hear him, not just believe on him, but who actually are going to honestly obey him. Anything short of that, you're going to fall short. We don't want to be in that group of unbelievers, number one. And then we don't want to be in that group that say we're believers, but we don't obey. So obey is a conditional word. I'm the author of eternal salvation to all them that condition obey. Let's see, we'll read Mark 16:16 and say, he that believeth shall be saved. The verse doesn't stand on its own. But we will pick and choose a verse and not understand it within the context of the entire scripture. And you will do what I say do. If you don't really believe, you're not going to do what I say do. You're going to say you believe, but your actions are going to show me whether you really believe or not. If you believe me, you'll do what I say do. If you don't, you won't do what I say to do. But you'll still say you believe me. You'll still say you love me. This word in this sentence in the Greek is hapaku, which simply means to carry out the command of authority, to heed, to conform, to do them. So as we are dealing with how to enter the kingdom of heaven, we must be obedient. That's how we enter in. Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden because they were disobedient. They ate from the tree that they were not supposed to eat from. Disobedient. To enter back in, you must be obedient. Can somebody tell me how many times did Adam and Eve eat from that tree? They ate from that tree one time and got kicked out.
One time.
Amen. Come on, I don't play. You don't say, oh, you get two or three times. He never says that. Moses was disobedient one time. Well, you're not going to take the people over now. Your Padawan, your trainee, Joshua, is going to take them over. You go up on top of that mountain. You can look over there, but you ain't going over there. One time. So we ought to be very, very, very afraid. Because he was so lenient with Israel. How many times he took Israel back? We want the Most High to be the same way with us. But he's saying, you know what? When you turn, you better turn for good, and you better turn for good. For good, for good. For good forever. When you repent, your repentance better be ever. And if you sin, it better be because you didn't know you were sinning. Because he's never played that way. All our examples in the book, Adam and Eve sinned one time. Moses sinned one time. David sinned, he sinned more than one time. He confessed it. The Most High says, okay, I'm not going to kill you, but I'm going to die. That child ain't living. And ain't nobody going to be able to wave that child in front of me and say, you allowed David to do this. Now, most of us probably say David was the one who should have died. That child didn't have anything to do with it. You have to take that up with the Most High. I ain't got a dog in that race. What time we got? 6:38. Go to 2 Thessalonians. Before we read that, we're talking about how to enter in to the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Elohim. You got to be obedient. Disobedience is what got Adam kicked out and Eve kicked out. Disobedience is what got Moses from going over. And they didn't get a bunch of chances. They got one. They were disobedient once. So understand that your salvation and my salvation is conditional upon us being obedient. All those people that believe that they're going to get in simply because they believe in Messiah, if they weren't obedient to him, if they aren't obedient to him, if they don't do what he says to do, they're not getting in because they don't meet the condition. And if we don't do it, then we, you know, what? No matter what we say, we refuse to do it for whatever foolish reason. Whatever excuse you want to come up with is foolishness, and it's going to cause you to burn. You got to understand that. Talking to believers here. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1. This verse didn't look familiar to me. I'm like, that's not saying what I'm thinking it's supposed to say. Let me go to the right book, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 8. And I think we might have to read these other verses so we can get the context. Let's go back to verse 1 so that you can get the context. So when we get down to verse 8, it's clear in what he's saying. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in Elohim, our Father, and Yeshua HaMashiach, grace unto you and peace from Elohim our Father and Yeshua HaMashiach. We are bound to thank Elohim always for you, brethren, as it is meet or meant, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other abounds, it grows, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of Elohim for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteousness of judgment of Elohim, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of Elohim, for which you also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with Elohim to recompense or to repay tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When Yeshua HaMashiach shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not Elohim and that obey not the gospel of our master Yeshua HaMashiach. That obey not. That's who he's going to get. You can say you belong to him. Say you believe in him. But if you don't obey him, in flaming fire, he's going to take vengeance on them. It don't matter whether you knew him. It don't matter whether you profess his name. Don't matter if you do work in his name. But you might see, hey, that gets me some power. That gets me some authority. People will do stuff if I use his name. But you're not really obeying him. Want to get you. Who he's talking about? The tares. That obey not the gospel of our master Yeshua HaMashiach, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of Yah and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, his true followers, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So, he's coming to punish those that don't obey him, whether you said you believe or not. Because if you were a believer, you would be a doer. So these people in this verse are those people. They're not unbelievers. They believe in him, but they don't obey him. They don't keep his commandment. They refuse to comply with his commandment. Matter of fact, they will say that his grace is sufficient. We ain't got to keep his commandments. He is true and just to forgive us our doctrines and theologies right out of hell. They are contrary to him and what he says. It is the twisting of his word. You can't say in one place, if you confess your sins, I'm true and just to forgive you. And in another place and say, if you sin willfully, there is no blood for that. Either it's a contradiction or he doesn't mean what we think he means. When he says that he will forgive, he is true and just to forgive, then we know that, hey, he don't change. In the Old Testament, he forgave ignorant sin. He never forgave willful sin. He don't forgive willful sin. That means then you can't confess willful sin. You can do that one time. You can confess ignorant sin. So you're going to obey him and do what he says to do, or else you're going to suffer his wrath. And his grace is not going to save you because you were disobedient. That doctrine, that grace replaces obedience. As I said, it's right out of hell. It don't work. It's not true. It's a false theology. It's not the truth. It contradicts. And somebody made that doctrine up. Messiah was Paul, Peter, Jude. They warned us about it. They warned us about people like this. They warned us about organizations like that. It is a perversion of grace. Go to Exodus chapter 19. Go look and see what the Most High says. He don't change. Exodus chapter 19, at verse 5. If people are saying that the grace, you are saved by grace, and you know, you can be disobedient, and the grace of Elohim will save you. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Now, therefore, if you will accept my grace and keep my covenant, then will you be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. He didn't say that. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice, obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant. Then, that's the condition. If, then, that's the condition. If you obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. So to Deuteronomy chapter 11, in verse 27 and 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 27 and 28. And we read these, you know, every Sabbath. Actually, we read these, every Sabbath. We didn't read them this Sabbath, though. We'll probably read them tomorrow morning. Verse 26, behold, I have set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day. Verse 28, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other Elohim, which you have not known. Obey, obey. What will happen if you obey, and what will happen if you disobey? Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 4. You shall walk after Yah your Elohim and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And you shall serve him and cleave unto him. Obey. Obedience. Not disobey. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 62. Deuteronomy 28 and 62. Obey, and you shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of Yah your Elohim. Obedience. Obey. He don't change. He didn't change in the New Testament and say, oh, it's okay to be disobedient. For this reason, Messiah came, because we were disobedient. He's not going to come and let us nail him to a cross for us to continue to be disobedient. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verse 20. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 20. Now this is Moses pronouncing this actual on Israel. That thou mayest love Yah thy Elohim, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which Yah sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to you obey his voice. 1 Samuel chapter 12. What time we got? 6:50. hourglass. It's 53. We'll read a couple more. We'll stop here for tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 12. But if you will not obey the voice of Yah, but rebel against the commandments of Yah, then shall the hand of Yah be against you, as it was against your fathers. When we are disobedient, the Most High is not still on our side. He says, my hand will be against you if you don't obey. 1 Samuel chapter 5. I wrote that down wrong. Go back to 12 for a second. I wrote that verse down wrong. Okay, let's move on. Let's go to Job. I got to look that verse up again. I wrote down the wrong verse there. Job chapter 36. Job 36 and verse 11. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. If you obey and serve him, my thing, those that do the Father's will, obey and serve him. Verse 12. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword. They shall die without knowledge. Jeremiah chapter 7. We were just told too many times all through this book, the Most High wants our obedience. In the New Covenant, he wants our obedience. He didn't change. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23. Let's start in verse 22 so you know who he's talking to. But I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, concerning burnt offerings or sacrifice. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your Elohim, and you shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. Obey my voice. Jeremiah chapter 11. Verse 4. Chapter 11, starting verse 3. And say thou unto them, thus saith Yah, Elohim of Israel, cursed be the man that obeys not the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them. Do my commandments, do my statutes, do my laws, do my judgments. According to all which I commanded you, that I command you, so shall you be my people, and I will be your God. I will be your Elohim. If you obey my voice and do them, not just hear and don't do them. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 17. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 17. They will not obey. I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith God. Okay, and let's start in verse 14. I believe this is to the nation, if I remember right. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 14. Thus saith Yah against my evil neighbors, that touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit. Behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck them out of the house of Judah from among them. And it shall come to pass, after that I have plucked them out, I will return and have compassion on them, Israel, and will bring them again, every man to his heritage and every man to his land. And it shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people, talking to the Gentiles, if they will learn the ways of my people, to swear by my name, Yah liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal. Hear that. As they taught my people to swear by the Lord. That's what Baal means. That's why you don't hear me saying the Lord, because Baal translates to the Lord. So it shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people, to swear by my name, saith Yah liveth, taught my people to swear by Baal, or the Lord, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. Now, this is to the Gentiles. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith Yah. So the Gentiles and the nations are commanded to obey the Most High too, and to learn the ways that he taught his people. Don't do what Israel did. Look at Israel as the Pharisees. Do what Israel says to do, but don't do as Israel did. Just like Messiah told us. Do what the Pharisees tell you to do, but don't do as they do, because they say, but they don't do. So we have to be doers. We have to say what's right, and we have to do what's right. We have to say what he says, and we have to do what he says. Go to Daniel chapter 9, and we'll stop here. And there are just hundreds more verses that we can look at. He always says, obey, chapter 9, verse 11. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by the parting, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of Elohim, because we have sinned against him. Sin is the transgression of his laws, not obeying his laws. Israel didn't obey. Israel got cast out. He didn't change. He didn't come into the New Testament and say, hey, you got a choice, obey me. Messiah himself said, if we obey, he's the savior of those that obey. So let's stop here. We will pick it up in the morning, part 7 of this. We will still be talking about those that obey. We'll look at the New Testament references. And he wants people who are going to obey in the new covenant. Not those that say they believe and still don't obey. Israel did that too. Israel said they believed and still walked in disobedience. Our forefathers, look at us today. Cast out into every nation in the world. Bottom of the totem pole. Trying to get back in touch with our Elohim. That he shall set us back in the place that we belong, that he chose for us. Not what we chose, but what he chose. So we have to understand that. All right. So we know that there are, in the believers, Messiah splits up the group of believers into those that believe and those that believe and follow him and are obedient. You have to examine, each one of us has to examine our life and see where we fall out at. Am I a believer, but I'm disobedient? Or am I a believer and I follow Messiah and I'm obedient? I do what he says to do. I keep the commandments of the Most High. Keep the statutes, the judgment, the ordinances, as they apply in the new covenant. I keep them. Because we're all believers, but we're not all doers. The doers. He's looking for those that are obedient. If we are believers and we're not doers, we have a false salvation and we just don't know it. We believe we are saved. We believe he's going to save us in the last days. But it's false because we're believing a false theology. We're believing a false doctrine. We are not understanding that we have to be obedient to him. 100%. Still got a lot more to teach in this area. Because this gospel is not to the unbelievers. Messiah never talked to the unbelievers. He never taught the unbelievers. He taught those that believe, but he wants everybody that's a believer to be a doer. He says it's going to be wheat and chaff, or wheat and tares together. The tares are going to be believers, but they are not doers. From all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments. Obey him. Enjoy the rest of your evening, saints. Happy Sabbath. Shalom.
Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live Shalom, Brother Miles. Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath to you also.
Happy Sabbath, family. Peace and blessings to you all. See you guys tomorrow morning. Y'all bless.
All right. God bless.
Have a happy Sabbath, Sister Hayes.
All right.
Good night.